Ephesians is one of the most, it is deep, it is great, it is unbelievable. It is, matter of fact, as one person said, Ephesians is the greatest piece of writing in the history of mankind. I'll tell you what, I almost have to believe that, because as we've trafficked through just these few verses, man, it just blows us away all that God has done for us. We left off with verses 3 for 4, through 14. All of the incredible blessings, the riches of his grace, the things that he has done for us who are in Christ Jesus. Now, that is one long sentence in the Greek, remember? When we get to verses 15 through the remaining of that chapter, verse 22, that also in the Greek now is one long sentence. There's not any periods or any of those things in there like the other people have put in, or the whoever those people are, okay? You know, sometimes I forget who they are. I don't care who they are. Now, with all that being said, we have experienced and we have learned the work of the Father. He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. Amen? That is God's selection. He chose you. He wants you before time ever began. How wonderful to know that, but do you believe that? Have you grasped that? And Jesus, the Son, the sacrifice, the redemption, he paid for the sin debt of the entire world, the forgiveness of sins, our sins now because we are in Christ, or as far as the east is from the west. So the work of the Father, the work of the Son, then the work of the Holy Spirit, which we experienced last Sunday by his word, that we are now sealed until the very day of redemption, forever sealed. We belong to God. Sealing of the Holy Spirit means God owns you. It means that you're secure if you're truly in Christ Jesus. Amen? But now Paul, he is moving in a different direction. I tell you, I love Paul. He is, do you know that Paul loved the sheep? He loved the churches. He labored for the churches. He was to me, the greatest apostle that has ever walked this earth. And here he comes. He's after, he says, listen, now that you know all what God has done for you, now that we know, for example, that we, being thanks unto God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, now that we know that, that we're truly a blessed people, we have no more blessings. We have them all. Amen? Paul told the Corinthians, all things are yours. Everything. We're co-heirs with Christ. Amen? Listen, and he says, I don't think they got it. I don't think these Ephesians, these Gentile believers, this first generation that's there, I don't think they got it. I don't think they really grasp what's in them. So Paul, writing from prison, in a prison cell, he pens this great of his first prayers. There's only two prayers in Ephesians. This prayer is unbelievable. It's so deep, so rich, so instructive. I don't, like I told the early service, I'm sure as I teach it, I'm somehow going to soil it or stain it because it's too deep for me. I want it to be so clear in my heart. You know, God is so good. His word is so good. Amen. But Paul is writing and he says unto the church at Ephesus, now that you know everything from verses 3 to 14, I'm praying that you truly grasp all the incredible riches that you have. But then he prays something else that might blow you away a little bit. But what we're going to talk about this morning, he prays that they would know God the Father. Do you know God the Father this morning? Beginning in verse 15, let's read. It says, therefore, also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Therefore takes us back to verses, of course, the sealing of the Spirit, but all the way back to verse 3 through 14. And so Paul, first of all, he starts praying. Man, he looks up to the Lord, and he looks to the love that they have one for another, the faith they have one for another. Remember that Paul is praying this prayer from prison, and before he starts out into this prayer, he's going to start praising the Gentile believers at the church of Ephesus. He says, having heard of your faith. Paul, if you know Paul, if you study out the prayers of Paul, Paul loved to pray. Paul believed in prayer. Amen? And his spirit was igniting in that jail cell, if you will. He said, oh man, listen, reports are coming in. News are coming in about the faith that you have. It's spreading everywhere. He's not talking about their saving faith. In other words, the moment that they received Jesus Christ, trusted Christ as Lord, he's talking about living by faith. In other words, that Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. He's saying, I hear that you're exercising faith in our Lord Jesus Christ each and every day of your lives. That meant that that's church. It meant that they were pleasing God. Hebrews 11:6. What? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's the only thing that God is pleased by is our faith. Now listen, he sits there and he is praying this prayer and he says, oh, listen, I am celebrating with you because the object of your faith. Listen, look what it says. Having heard of your faith in what or in whom? The object of their faith was the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. The Bible teaches us that we're to look only to our Lord. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. And then he says, not only did I hear about your faith, he says, and having heard of your love for a few of the saints. Oh, good. First service didn't get it either. Your love for all the saints. What does that mean? Agape there. It means that this church in Ephesus, filled with the Spirit of God, they loved, but they also did something else. They obeyed the new commandment, John 13:34-35, which is part of our vision statement, if you're visiting with us, at this church. In other words, where Jesus said, by this, he says, a new command I give unto you, that ye love one another, how? As I have loved you, to the same degree I loved you. And he goes on, he says, therefore love one another. By this, the whole world will know that you belong to me, that you're my disciples. So Ephesus, in the early days, they were probably a love-never-fails church like us. You know what I mean? All right, I just want to make sure you got that. Now, that tells me if they walked in that kind of love, the agape of God, love, it means that they knew the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit show your ministry. The fruit of the Spirit show your maturity. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's not your fruit. It's not your love. It's the fruit of the Spirit that lives and dwells in you. Amen? That's the love of Romans 5:5. That's the love of God that's been poured out or shed abroad in your heart, which has been given to you by the Holy Spirit of God. That's that kind of love. Now listen, Christianity or love is a verb. It's to be demonstrated. Christianity is the love of Jesus Christ in us, in action to a fallen world. Amen? The Bible says in Galatians 5:6, faith working through love. Now, Paul says, oh, I saw your love, I've seen your love, I heard about it, and all of your faith. So Paul says, because of that, look at verse 16. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you. Remember, this is a prayer of Paul. He says, oh, I'm making mention of you in my prayers. By the way, if you want to do a study, you is plural in the Greek. So I would assume that you meaning all of the people of Ephesus, and if he knew them by name, Paul was praying for all of them by name. Does that make sense? And he says, as he continues his prayer, here it comes now. Paul is praying. And let me say something else. The epistle of Ephesians was just not written to the church at Ephesus. It was a circular epistle, okay? It went to all of the churches. So it's not only addressed to them, it's addressed to us today. Amen? Okay. So he says here, as he's praying, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I love this part, the Father of glory. Say that one more time with me. The Father of glory. What does he want the Father of glory to do? The glorious one to whom all glory alone belongs to him. He says, oh, that the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, in the knowledge of him. Now listen very carefully. Paul is not asking God the Father of glory to give them something different or something new. He's not doing that at all. He's saying, he's literally saying, you know, to reveal to them what you have already given unto them. Amen? See, we are, again, Ephesians 1:3, we are blessed, loved one. with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Therefore, God's not going to give you any more. You already have everything. All things are yours, the Bible says. We're co-heirs with Christ. With all that being said, how do we get those blessings? Remember, we appropriate them by faith. We believe that we have them. God cannot lie. But here's the question. Look at it again in your text. He says that the Father of glory may give you the what? Now, in your Bibles, I don't know, you may have different translation than the New King James that I'm teaching out of this morning. In your Bibles, is it a small s or a capital S on spirit? Okay. Now, I'm not trying to, you know, go against the translators or anything like that, but I think they made an error here. I believe with all my heart. I know it should be a capital S. It's not the human spirit that we're dealing with here. It's the Holy Spirit. Listen, the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom, I don't have a lot of wisdom going for me. Matter of fact, I forgot most of what I already know. Do you understand? Oh, yeah. Listen, I tell you, only the Holy Spirit of God can lead you into all truth concerning God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Bible. Amen? Only the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, he'll bring all things to remembrance of you, all the things that I've taught. He'll bring remembrance to you. So only the Holy Spirit, loved one, can give you the revelation that's needed about God the Father, about the Word of God, to make it alive. Amen? Yeah. Listen, the Bible, if we went through Ephesians, for example, about the Holy Spirit strengthening the believers to grasp the things of God. How about Ephesians 3:16, where it says, strengthened with might through his spirit, the inner man. Ephesians 2:18, it says we have access to God the Father by the Spirit. Ephesians 4:3, keep the unity of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. Again, Ephesians 5:18, be ye being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 6:17, taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's always the Holy Spirit. Listen, what does God the Father, the God of glory, in this prayer that Paul is praying, what does in the world does he want us to know? What does he want? This revelation and this wisdom, what's it all about? Can you believe this? Now listen, look at it. In the knowledge of whom? Now who is him? God the Father. Can you believe Paul is praying this prayer? He said, I want you to understand, that the God himself, Paul says, I want you to understand and know him. See, the word knowledge there is not talking about I know about God the Father or about Jesus the Son or about the Holy Spirit. That's not what this is talking about at all. That word knowledge means exact knowledge, perfect knowledge, sure knowledge. It means deep intimacy to know God the Father of glory, how? To experience him. That's what that word knowledge means. You know, Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer in John 17:3. Listen to what Jesus prayed. He says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, be intimate with you, that they may know you and experience you. Let me continue. That he says, know you the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. To know God is to have eternal life through Christ. Amen? But what Jesus is speaking here when he's talking to the disciples and talking to God the Father and he's praying, loved one, listen to me. He's not talking about, knowing through reading or knowing through, I'm hearing and stuff. No. He is saying direct personal communion with God the Father. He's not even speaking of a theological position. This is not like theology. You know, theology means the study of God. Don't you hate that? I don't know why I don't like that. How do you like you're going to study God? What are you doing today? I'm studying God the Father, creator of everything, sustainer of all. Yeah? What do you know? Not much. The Bible says his ways are past finding out. Past finding out. Now, I know some things, but not all things about God the Father. Amen? Past finding out, look that up in the Hebrew. That word past finding out is literally you'll never find out because it's like footprints on the ocean. Have you ever walked on the water and saw where someone's footprint was? Okay, never mind. Now, so this is a divine encounter. It is an intimate personal experience. Becoming a new creation in Christ. is an experience. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And here's the problem. Not only there in this early church, the first generation of those Gentile believers at Ephesus, there's a danger then, and there is a greater danger today. And you know what it is? Listen, you love God's word. I love God's word. Man, I want to know all that I can know. I want to memorize scripture. I want to meditate on it. I want to spend time in the God's word. All Christians should do that. That's how we grow. Amen? But what happened in Ephesus? And that's why Paul was praying. And what happens today is worse than what happened in Ephesus, loved one. And that is this. Paul is praying that they never substitute knowing God, being intimate with God, by just saying, I know the word. Does that make sense? Man, I got the word of God under my belt, man. Don't substitute that for a relationship. Yes, we must know the word, but God is real. God the Father is real. When we go to prayer, we go to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, He hears you. He knows you. He sees you. He is there. Is God real to you? Do you have that personal communion with Him? The Bible says that God is love. 1 John 4:8. Do you think that love is something that God, His love, that God wants you to experience? Yes. Listen, I know, not because I'm a super saint or above you or below you. I'm with you. But I know God loves me. Not only because of the word. Yes, I read the word. I know what God's word says about His love. We're the children of God. He has bestowed this, lavished this, His love upon us. But I've experienced that. See, God wants you, God the Father wants you to experience not only just His love, but His forgiveness, His joy. Are you with me? See, no, it's real. Emotions are real. Did you know that? Okay, listen. Does the Holy Spirit have emotions? Oh, good. Well, you're well taught. Man, you said yes, nearly knocked my microphone off. Yes, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen? We can make the Holy Spirit, I don't know why it's doing, I'm very sorry. We can make the Holy Spirit sad. I don't want to vex Him or make Him sad. Well, listen, love is an emotion. And the Bible teaches us that. What do you think that's doing? It's the pneuma of God. That's what it is, the Holy Spirit. I don't know what's happening. Oh, please don't make me use that microphone on the handheld. I was just getting ready to start preaching. Is it all right? Am I okay? No, you can't hear me? You can't hear me? You know, see, it's probably a demon spirit unscrewed all that. Oh, listen. I don't even know where I was. Now, somebody tell me where I was. I was having a meltdown? What? No, not having a meltdown. Listen. Love is an emotion. God's peace. He wants you to experience it. Do we go time? Listen, we go through struggles in our life. What did Paul write in Philippians? He said, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, the very peace of God Himself. What? That surpasses. Shall guard two things in your life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Loved one, listen, He wants you to know, do you feel my peace? I'm guarding you. I built a moat around your heart. I build God. It says, I am guarding you. Oh, you can have my peace. Listen, it's all an emotional realm. In order to know God, you must grow with God. Does that make sense? Listen, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, so intimate encounters ever recorded between God and man, was that of Moses. And oh, what there in Exodus, all through the Bible. And listen, did Moses there in the journey in the wilderness, did Moses experience the presence of God? Absolutely. Did Moses there going through the wilderness and on the mountain, did he experience the power of God? Yes, all those things. But you know what Moses wanted more than anything? He wanted intimacy with God. Intimacy with God the Father. Listen to what he says in Exodus 33:13. It says, Moses says to the Lord, he says, oh, Lord, now therefore I pray, if I found grace in your sight, he says, would you show me your way? Here it comes. Show me your way. Show me what's going on. And then he says these words that Moses says, that I may know you. That I may know you, not about you. I want to be intimate. I want to have a deep fellowship. Does that make sense? That's what he was requesting. And then in Exodus 33:18, one of my favorite scriptures, what did Moses request from God the Father? He said this, oh Lord, please show me your glory. It's one of the greatest scriptures, one of the greatest requests, I think, in the Word of God. He's saying, listen, I want to experience who you are. Would you make your glory manifest or make it visible to me? Listen, did Moses talk face to face with God as a friend? Yes. I said, oh, Lord, Moses, what do you want? Man, I mean, did Moses hear the voice of God? Yes. Did Moses... there on the mount, did he see the finger of God writing on the Ten Commandments? Yes. And Moses says to God, I need, I want, Father, I desire a deeper relationship, a deeper intimacy of who you are. And what did God the Father say? Listen carefully, Exodus 33:19. Then God said to Moses, okay, I will make all my goodness, say that word, goodness, goodness, all my goodness. I love that. He said, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord before you, Moses, and I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I have compassion. It goes on and on. And he says, but listen, you can't see my face. No man can see my face and live, he says. So the Lord said, okay, Moses, here's the deal. Here's a place by me. And you know, the rock, the cleft of the rock, remember? Here's a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock, and it shall be when my glory, or while my glory passes, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, Moses, and I'm going to cover you with my hand. I'm going to protect you now while I pass, he says. And then I'm going to take away my hand. You'll see my back, but you shall not see my You'll see what remains of me, Moses. You'll see my afterglow as I pass by you. What a glorious request and a glorious response from God. Amen. Does God want that intimacy with us? Yes, yes, he does. Listen, let me just give you the rest. And then what did God the Father do? Here it comes, Exodus 34:5. And now, I love this. The Lord descended in the cloud, and he stood with Moses there. And he proclaimed the name of the Lord, and the Lord passed by Moses and proclaimed, oh, the Lord God. Listen to this. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness, truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sins. Listen. What did Moses see? The Lord removed his hand, and he saw the backside of God, the trail of his glory. And the Lord telling Moses, you want to know who I am? You want to be intimate with me? This is who I am. He says, what did Moses see? Did he see God's power? No. Did he see the wrath of God? The justice of God? No, the first thing he saw, the revelation, the wisdom, the revelation that was given unto him, like we're talking about in this prayer of Paul. He saw that God is good. People ask me, why do you open the service? All these, God is good. Can't you get something else, Bill? No. Why do you close the service with that song? God is good. There's a lot of things I do not know about my Father and your Father. Many things. But I do know that He is good. He is good to me. He is so good. That's why I open and close these services all the years of my ministry that God has put me in. Because God is good. Listen, the psalmist has said in Psalm 86:5, O Lord, you are good. Ready to forgive. All that God did, all that God does, all that God is going to do is good. There is not one second that God is not doing good to you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing in this life. God is good. The psalmist has written in one psalm, 119:68, it says that God, he says, oh, you are good, you doeth good. Psalm 51, I don't know what it is, 52:1, it's there. The Lord God, He doeth good continuously. God is good. That was the revelation. Have you received that revelation in your heart? Do you, well, I know God is good. No. I didn't ask you that. Have you experienced His goodness? Yes. He is good. Oh, listen. Goodness, knowing the goodness of God, it's not some kind of proper theology. You know what we need to be today, like Moses, to say, oh, Lord, I want a fuller manifestation of who you are in this place called Calvary Chapel. Amen? That's what's needed in every family, in every home. We need all that. Listen, you can know all about God. You can have so much, I know all 66 books of the Bible. Yeah, you know. I know the Hebrew and the Greek. I do too. I know a little, they own a delicatessen by my house. You can know all about God, but not really know God. What does God say about that? He says in Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory or boast in his wisdom. Don't brag about that. Let not the mighty man boast in his might, or let the rich man boast in his riches. I love this. God says, but let him who glories. You want to brag about something? Brag a glory in this, he says, that he or she understands and knows me, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness and justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, saith the Lord. God says, okay, you're going to brag about your wisdom? You're going to brag about your power and riches and so forth? God says, let me tell you how I measure a person. Or you want to be a success with me, God says in His Word. He says, then true success is measured one way. Do you know me? Do you really know me? Do you know my heart? No different than when Jesus laid, John put his heart, head upon the chest of Christ at the supper and heard the heartbeat of God. Do you know what fills God's heart, our Father, with joy? Oh, I look and I say, oh, God. God's delight here in those scriptures in Jeremiah is that we have intimacy and that we're passionate about Him. Oswald Sanders said, every one of us is as close to God as He has chosen to be. I don't think God has a limit on how close we can get to Him, do you? No. He says, Paul in his prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, here it comes now, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, God. Do you know Him? I know that we know that God is the God of all mercies. Amen? We know that God, our Father, is the God of all comfort, of all grace, of all hope, of all peace, all of those things. But do you believe, have you experienced that? Have you experienced that mercy? Have you truly Where do you go when you need mercy? Who do you go to? Where do you go when you truly, I need to be comforted? I've gone to all the wrong places. I can give you a list. They don't work. They'll never work. But I can go to the God who is the source, listen to me now, the source of every comfort known to man. I say, oh God, that's my Father. I can be intimate with you. You're going to comfort me in all of my tribulations so I can comfort others that are going through it. Amen? Listen, beware, loved one, of counterfeit mercy. Beware of counterfeit comfort that the world gives you. It'll never, ever help you. Listen, if you're not running to your Father for that comfort and mercy and all the things that you need, where are you going? Who are you running to? If not your Father, loved one, ooh, listen, you need the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation and wisdom about your Father. We have a throne, Hebrews 4:16. We have a throne called the throne of grace that we can go to anytime, 24/7, amen? Anytime we want to. You know, the first service, I was up here, and I had to have a drink. You know, allergies, you know how it is. Well, some of you don't, but I have it. I spilled water all over. I mean, I was drenched up here. Hallelujah. I was baptized. And God saved one in the first service. Isn't God good? Amen. With all that being said, you need to have knowledge. You need to get back into the wisdom and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. We have a throne of grace that we can go to. We can obtain mercy and help, grace in time of need. Amen? It's all about that. Listen, do you really know? I'm challenging you. There's not anything that I'm doing to you that I haven't done to myself. The Word of God challenges me just like it challenges you. Is God real to you? Is your Father in heaven truly real to you? Or is it just a casual acquaintance? There's nothing greater than experiencing intimacy with our Father. Job put it like this in Job 42:5. Job said, talking about God the Father, he says, listen, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now, he went, my eyes see you. Job says, since I've been a little boy, man, I have been instructed about you, taught about you. But Job says, but now I see you, the manifest presence of God. I'm experiencing you. Did you know that God desires you to experience him? He does. Listen, and it's always by the Spirit of God, no other way. Maybe you grew up maybe like me, fatherless, and never hearing your father say, I love you, or I want you, or any of those things. And if I remember, I'll never forget the day when the revelation from the power of God, the Spirit of God, came upon me. I was driving, and it was so powerful, I pulled off the side of the road and started weeping because all of a sudden, I realized that I was not fatherless. I have a Father who really loves me, who chose me, who wants me, who will make sure I get home. Amen? Listen, that blessed me like you can't imagine. You know, this kind of knowledge about that experiencing God the Father, listen, loved one, is for every Christian. Hebrews 8:11 tells us, it says, know the Lord. Know him, experience him. Why? For all will know one day. All will know and have that. You know, the question is, do you really know God? I know you say, Bill, I'm saved. What are you beating me up? No. But let me put it to you another way. You know, do you text? No, you know, oh, what's going on, honey? Bye, you know, and oh, let me send you this picture. I'm in the da 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 da, or here's my Instagram, and I'm on Facebook. And you can sit there and talk. I've watched people. They talk for hours with people, da, 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 all through the day. All through the day. You can do that. I say this in love. I do love you. But can you talk to God the Father for 30 minutes in prayer? See, can you really do that? Well, if you're not, why don't you? I'll tell you why. You don't know God. No. Wait. I didn't say you didn't believe in God. I didn't say that. I know you believe in God. I'm talking about experiencing God. I'm talking about in your prayer time, in your walk. Oh, loved one, there is nothing greater than that. How do we know God the Father? Of course, through the Lord Jesus Christ. But are we to get smarter? Are we to expand our mind and, okay, mentally, you know, I'm going to discover God in my mind? No, the spirit of wisdom and revelation only comes through the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to me. 1 Corinthians 2:9. It is written, eye hath not seen, ear not heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Here it comes. But God has revealed all those things to us. How? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Loved one, listen. There are deep things that are waiting for you, that are waiting for me. But they can never be experienced, that kind of intimacy, by mental assertion or whatever that mental, whatever it's called. You understand? Mental assent. No, listen, they're undiscoverable by our intellect. Not that intellect is bad. No, listen, we only can receive those things by the Holy Spirit of God. He says, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Here it comes. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit can reveal more to you in 1 second than 5 years of being in a Bible college, if he wanted to. Do you understand that? He goes on and he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. And here's the reason, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. How sad to be illuminated by the Spirit of God, the Word of God being made alive, and then not and fail to know the things that have been freely given unto us, loved one. He goes, Paul goes on, you know the scripture about in verse 14 of this text I'm reading from, that the natural man receives not the spiritual things. See, they can't discern it. They're foolishness to him. Why? They're spiritually discerned. See, if a natural man, meaning a person that is not born from above, if they could open the Bible and then understand the Bible, it would not be a supernatural book. If a person that is not born again cannot welcome or receive the things of God into their heart, they have to be born again for that. Does that make sense? They can only welcome the spirit of the world. And the world is not, that spirit of the world is against God. It's an antichrist spirit, loved one. No, listen. It says in Ephesians 1:18, look at it now. It says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened or illuminated, that, here it comes again, that you may know. Know what? Well, what's the hope of his calling? What else? Well, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? When it says the eyes of your understanding, that word, you probably in your center row column, the text there, maybe you have a number over or something over the word understanding. He's not talking about the mind. The word understanding literally means the heart. The heart to God is the place of the mind, will, and emotions. It's the seat of all of that, loved one. And so he's saying the eyes of your heart being enlightened. The Amplified Version makes it clear. It says, having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, that you can know and understand the hope which he has called you. Now, I don't know if you will agree with this or not, but I know it's true. I understand more in my heart than I do in my head. Do you understand about God in a way? Oh, I know the word. I'm still growing, of course. But you see, what does the Bible say? If you will confess with your mouth and believe in your mind, no. Why not in your mind? I'll tell you why. The mind has to be renewed. Amen? And not only that, the mind that you have before you came to Christ is the mind that says, I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. The mind will lie to you. Do you know that? But it's the heart. Something has to happen here. If you confess with your mouth and believe in the inner man, the inner woman, that Jesus as Lord and God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. Loved one, I don't know about you, but I would give anything for this church to live in the constant state of illumination from the Spirit of the living God, where we're just saturated with the Lord, saturated with knowing him. So what does God our Father want us to know? It tells us right here. It says, what is the hope of his calling? Remember, hope in the Bible is not, man, I hope so. It is sure. It is certain. It's a divine fact. It a guaranteed by the living God who cannot lie. Amen? So is this, what is this hope of his calling? Are you ready for this? We have been called by God to be his people. We who are in Christ. Amen? That's the hope of his calling. Can you believe that? Let me give you the scripture, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation. When were you chosen? Before the foundation of the world. Amen? He goes on and says, you're not only a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood. How are you royal? How's that? Well, you the spirit of adoption, whereby our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are children of God. Amen? We've been adopted. We're kings and priests unto God. We're going to reign and rule with him, loved one. He says, not only are you a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation. What does that mean? We're a holy nation. It means that the church, we, the Christian, we're set apart right now for service unto God in this generation. He goes on and he says, I love this one. We're God's own special people. Don't you love that? I'm special to God. I'm not special to a lot of people. But God says, you're my own special. Bill, you're one of my special kids. He say the same to you. He goes on, he says, and here's the reason, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but now you are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you've obtained mercy. No wonder Paul the Apostle writes in Ephesians 2:5, God, who is rich in mercy. Thank God he saved us by grace. Amen? Oh, and then he says, look at it again, verse 18. Not only that we understand in our heart and all of that, the hope of his calling, but look at this. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the what? That's us. What does God the Father want you to know? I look at that and I say, you got to be kidding me, Lord. Are you saying that your inheritance, not the inheritance that we studied out in what, verse 11? No. This is his inheritance in us. What does that mean? It means that the church of the living God, loved one, listen, we are his treasure. We're his treasure. How can we say, I hear Chris, I don't think God loves me. How can you say that? I don't think God's going to forgive me. How can you say that? You're in Christ. Amen? Do you know God the Father? Oh, listen, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God enlighten your heart right now, where that information that you're receiving right now this morning turns into divine revelation and just sets you aflame. What do you think about the church, really? I know what people in the world think about the church. And matter of fact, a lot of Christians have a very low view of the church. Listen, the church is not a building. It's you. Don't have a low view of yourself. No, listen, I love the church. When I was back praying for y'all this morning, there in the corner, that's my prayer corner too, my praise corner. I was watching you worship. I was watching Jesse, man, he's moving. And I said, church that you purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord. The church, the body of Christ, has no equals, loved one. Not in time or never in eternity. The church has absolutely no equals. Listen to me. We are chosen in him, adopted, accepted in the beloved. We are seated together with Christ. We're redeemed. We're forgiven. We are sealed. We are his inheritance. We are his church. And as a word I always love to say, and I've recently, I say the church is forever triumphant. You ever read that book? Remember? years ago. I forget who wrote it, but I have it in my library right now. The church is forever, forever triumphant. No matter what the ages say through the past history. Listen, Jesus told us in Matthew 16, 18, the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen? We will always be victorious. Matter of fact, read the last book of the Bible. Amen? Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Matter of fact, we should be the church fearless. 2 Timothy 1, what, 7? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. We shouldn't be afraid of anyone or anything. The devil is defeated. Death has been abolished. Amen? Rendered inactive. We're his people. We're his people. He is our Father. And not only that, we should never be the church ashamed. We should be the church unashamed. For I am not ashamed of the good news. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you? No, for it, meaning the good news, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and even to the Gentile. Loved one, listen. We are the church, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the only stewards on this planet. We have the only book that came from God the Father from heaven that landed on this planet, if you will, and it belongs to you. It belongs to me. The only book from heaven to earth. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not only that, we have overcome the world. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. 1 John 4:17, I love that scripture. As Jesus is right now, so are we in this world. Whoever is born of God, in any nation, any color, any people, rich or poor, whoever is born of God overcometh this world. And who is he who overcomes the world but he who believeth that Jesus Christ is a son of the living God? We're the only people on earth right now, the church that's on the narrow road. Right now, we're on the narrow road that leads unto life, loved one. We're on it. We're going down it. And you know what? It's going to take us all the way home. Titus 2:13, great scripture. One day Jesus, oh, the blessed hope, we're eagerly waiting. He's going to come for us, isn't he? Yes. It could be any moment, his appearing. All that God has promised from eternity past is going to be realized when Jesus comes and takes us home. Just a few scriptures, and I know it's time to go. It says when he comes, listen very carefully, Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. 1 Peter 5:10, may the God of all grace who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:10, here it is. When Jesus comes in that day to be glorified in his saints, that's us, to be admired among all those who believe. What a glorious future that we have. I'm going to ask you a question. Listen to me now. Just give me 3 minutes. It's only noon. You can't be dying to get the Lubies, okay? And the Academy Awards aren't until later. And you don't need to wash that trash anyway. The only red carpet I want to walk down is the one that leads home to glory. Now, with all that being said, Paul, that was the first of Paul's prayer. Now listen carefully. This young church in Ephesus, founded by Paul, the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love, taught in that church. Did the first generation, did they discover that intimacy with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Yes. Did the second generation, was Paul's prayer answered for the second generation of believers? No. You know why? Well, you have to read Revelation 2 for that. What did they do? Man, did they labor for the Lord? Oh, boy, the church, have they labored for the Lord like you can't believe? They had purity. Oh, those that did evil, oh, yeah, you hate. Get away. Yeah, I hate them too. The Nicolaitans, whatever they were. They had purity, but they no longer had the passion. You know what they did? The same thing I talked to you earlier about. They substituted works for knowing God, for knowing Jesus, for loving Jesus. They said, look what I'm doing. I have all these works. And Jesus said, I know all your works. I know that you're laboring to the point of exhaustion. I know that. He said, but you know what? You've done something that just, I can't stand it. You've left your first love. You've walked away from me. Jesus will not stay in a loveless church, no matter how many great works there's going on. Our first love is the Lord. Not a denomination, not a name of a denomination. Our first love is Jesus Christ. Did the second generation make it? No, they did not. Ephesus, it was gone. The light went out. Listen to me. That church was, again, taught by Paul, founded by Paul, taught by John, warned by Jesus Christ himself. Let us never substitute works. Look what we're doing for intimacy. Let's have intimacy, then let's go work. Let's have our prayer time in our prayer closet and knowing that God the Father is there. He wants to touch you as any father would. Hold you. Intimacy. He wants you to experience. How do you do that, Bill? Well, if you don't know Christ, listen to me. There's only one way. To know God the Father. To experience love. His forgiveness. Jesus told us how. No man comes to the Father. No person comes to the Father except through me. Why did Jesus say that? Because he said earlier, for I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The only way to get home, the only way to have your sins forgiven, the only way to have intimacy with God the Father is through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no other name given under heaven by which a man could be saved. Do you know the Lord? Are you born again? Are you visiting with us? Maybe you've been several times here. Is Jesus really your Lord? No. Do you really know God? Do you know that? Do you know that you're saved? If not, here's what I want you to do. If you're not a Christian, you doubt in your heart, you lift your hand to God right now. Say, I want Jesus to be, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and every Christian pray, you lift your hand and say, Bill, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm forgiven. I want to experience God. Lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me, and I'll pray for you. You don't have to come to this altar. I just need to see a hand go up and a hand go right back down. And you can join those who gave their hearts to Christ in the early service. Anyone at all, quickly, please, if that's you. God bless you, I see that. God bless you, I see that. Oh, there's another. I know there is. Quickly. Would you lift it high and put it right back down? Say, Bill, that's me too. Quickly. So I'll not ask again if that's you. Please don't fight the Spirit of God. God bless you. Anyone else say, that's me? That's me. Quickly. Now, you that lifted your hands, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray with me right now. And church, I want you to pray and help me. Say, Father, you're the Father of glory. Today, I want to come home. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Lord. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And Father, I believe in my heart. You raised him from the dead. You promised if I believed that, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. Jesus, be my Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Lord, there's no one like you. You're the Father of glory. Jesus is the King of kings. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for saving, touching the hearts of people this morning, bringing them into the kingdom of God, sealing them with the Holy Spirit of God. There's no one like you. And we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Can we?